Welcome to The Atypical Leader with Rick Brennan, where we talk about harnessing what makes you unique
and maybe even a little odd,
while at the same time dismantling the notion that you have to be a certain type of person or act a certain way to be an effective leader.
Definitely a leader, not a follower.
I like the sound of this.
It's time for us atypical leaders to come out of the shadows and learn to be proud and confident in what makes us different.
I'm proud of who I am.
I'm proud of who I am.
Atypical Leader starts now.
Judy Sims, the one and only, from Calgary, Alberta. Just back from a walk with the girls.
I'm sorry. Yes, I did just come back from a walk, Rick. Thank you.
And it was good. It was good.
Yeah.
Bit invigorating. You look tired from the walk when you should be invigorating. What's it, 40 below?
No.
What's the temperature?
Six above.
Six above?
Four.
Oh, God, just balmy.
It's balmy. People are out in their shorts in Calgary right now.
Are they? Wow. So listen, you've been, of course you know, because you've been helping me work on it. We've kind of been revamping our website.
I know. It looks fabulous. I really like it.
Yeah, no, it's come a long ways. We've got some more work to do, and Raquel, who's kind of our web designer, is working away at it. And we got a call with her tomorrow to get the first and main part of it all done. We got a couple other little pages to add and a couple other things we want to do. But yeah, it's looking great.
Yeah, no. Some good pictures of you, sir.
Yeah. It's
my Costa Rica.
Yeah, it's kind of my sexy look.
Oh, is that your sexy look?
Yeah, well, it's as good as it gets. That's as good as it gets. I got my, I don't even know what color shirt that is. What color shirt is that? Orange? No, it wouldn't be orange. It's got to be fucking tangerine or something.
Wait, well, you've got a couple of different shirts on, so.
Well, the one that looks like orange, Judy. Well, nobody cares.
Light orange.
Yeah, okay. It's a light orange. It's a light tangerine. Anyways, moving on.
Brings out your eyes.
Brings out like bloodshot eyes. Yeah, I know. It's great.
So one of the things that I like about the new website is that you're going to do some coaching.
Yes, I am. It's kind of, when we started this, I wrote a book and that took forever and really didn't, even know where that was going. It was just something I was doing, and that kind of evolved into the book it is today. It really focused on, atypicals and neurodiverse. And then we started this podcast, and with your help, we've, that's been doing very well, and we're getting all kinds of comments and really going down this neurodiversity path and trying to help people with neurodiverse issues, more on the mid to high level. We're certainly not in a position to help people that are on the lower level of the spectrum, but people that are on the mid to high level that are, kind of managers or executives trying to get ahead, who are probably being successful to one degree or another, but still feeling that they're just missing things, that they just don't fit in, that their skills that they don't have that other executives have. And I think there's
right.
a with all the comments we've got, there seems to be a need for someone to help them kind of gather their thoughts and put an action plan together, really understand what are those skills that they do have, how can they maximize them, how do they find their superpowers. So I'm excited that maybe, we can be able to help a few people and to find their way to success. Ooh, that sounded like a commercial.
And the great part about it is all they have to do to get hold to you is to go to our brand new website, go to the coaching page, and press a button, and they'll get in touch with you.
Yeah, put their email in there, and away we go. Yeah.
And they get to have a chat with you just to kind of see what it's all about and see if it's a good fit for them and for you.
And that's what's really going to be important. I mean, this is, if you know me, I'm not going to mess around. Either it's going to work for me and you to work together or it's not.
You'll know.
Yeah, so we'll both know, yeah. And another thing that's exciting about that, Judy, too, is that, I put together another little book.
I know. I'm amazed.
I'm amazed, me too. Because, again, with the input we've got, people have said, so what's the most important thing? What's the most important thing, for us neurodiverse? And that is simply, there's no question in my mind, it's all about organization.
Yes.
We need structure, rules, templates. I mean, we need a way for our brain to fit in and we need to simplify. We need to do all these sorts. We got to find time, create time for ourselves. And so we put a book together, and it's a very short read, 15 minutes, of course, because we know that no one's got an attention span to really read more than that, you know?
Exactly.
So we try to check all the boxes, try to give people the most important aspects of what I believe is good for neurodiverse and atypical, but is also, I believe, the key to leadership in a very small format, a 15-minute read. And the book is called 50% of Leadership is Just Being Organized.
And it's a great read. I read it. It is. It's a great read. You can understand it. Very, very understandable. And like you said, short and sweet to the point, because we don't have that attention span.
Right, exactly. And, you know, and the line I use is that, you know, and it's so true. And if anyone who's been in my boots or in your own kind of trying to step up the ladder, or you've been on teams and you have all these wonderful leaders, so to speak, is that no matter how charming and wonderful you think you are, not much gets fucking done if your team's not organized. If nobody knows right. where they're going and what they're accountable for, it don't matter how charming you think you are.
Now, isn't it true that if they come to our website and subscribe to our newsletter, right now we're offering that book for free?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It is available on Amazon, but really the point is to share this with our listeners, the people that are interested, and really all they need to do, like you said, is go to the website, subscribe so we have their information and we can, you know, send other updates and, you know, maybe even a couple other little books in the future, and we'll get that, we'll send them a digital copy.
Oh, that's fabulous. All yeah. right, people, hit the website.
Cool.
Yeah, so and let's continue on about what we're going to talk about today, shall we? We are going to talk about how people can deflect what you're talking about or the intent of your message and turn it back on you. So, I mean, everyone does that, Rick. So why is it so important for us atypicals? Like, why does that affect us so much? Because, I mean, everybody does it. Everybody deflects.
Oh, no. It's, you know, and sometimes it's just a very natural thing to do, right? But there are incidents where, you know, you think you're going down one path and all of a sudden somebody throws out a curveball that has really nothing to do with the subject at hand. Almost like you've done something wrong. And I got to tell you, when it happens, oh, my God, it sticks to me like glue. It's like I know I haven't done anything. And you know when it sticks to me, it goes to my brain's plate and it starts. It's like that little hamster on a wheel. Round and round it goes, and that thought comes up and up and up and up, and it just never stops, and it bogs me down, and it clogs up my brain, and I can't think as clearly when that happens. You want an example?
Yeah. First of all, let me put my description of it to you and see if I'm on the right page with you.
Okay.
Deflection to me means somebody has done something, and they don't want to take responsibility for it, so they deflect it by putting it back on the other person.
But maybe even more than that, not necessarily putting it back, but putting things back to detour from the real conversation.
Okay, so there's two sides of the coin here. There's the one where people don't want to take responsibility, so they deflect it back on you, right?
Right.
Making you the problem. And two, deflecting what you're trying to say because they don't want to hear your message? Is that what?
Well, it's like everybody's got an agenda, right? Everybody's pushing their agenda. And if your agenda is different from there, instead of attacking your agenda, they'll attack the suit you're wearing today.
Right.
How could Rick wear a pink suit and say that presentation? Oh, my mom, the pink suit, that's not appropriate, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, no one remembers what the hell we were talking about.
Right. Okay. So give us some examples.
Well, I had one that just happened. It's kind of funny and it's certainly not a serious one, but it just shows even after all of these years here on this just happened like last week, all of these years and I'm writing books and we're doing podcasts and we're spreading our wisdom, you know, we're spreading our wisdom to the world, you know, and here I'm in Costa Rica, free as a bird, having fun. And I'm putting together this website and we decide we need some pictures. So I go to this young lady who's very, very nice, very nice. And she's been around here and she's taking pictures and doing different things for other people. And I said, listen, I need some pictures taken. I kind of need them done because the pictures I have, the resolution isn't good enough and they just won't work on the website because it needs to be very, very high resolution. So she said, oh, hey, no problem. And frankly, she came right over And I said, well, can you come up to the condo because I want to show you exactly what I want. Well, I said, I'm busy. I don't have time for that and so on and so forth. So we said, okay. So we went, we took the pictures, but I explained to her that I wanted for a website. The phone view and the computer view are two very different views. Okay. So you need to know that. You need to know where I need to be standing and all that sort of stuff. And it can't be in the middle. I got to be to the side. You can put the words to the side, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. So anyways, we took the pictures. I sent the pictures off to Raquel for the website. And problem is that they've been done in portrait mode and not landscape mode. Right. That won't work on the website.
Did you tell her, did you ask her for landscape?
I don't know what I need. All I knew is I'm putting it on a computer screen.
Okay,
you're the photographer. Here's the view I need, and I couldn't. I couldn't show her on the computer screen.
Come up and show.
Right, right. So anyway, so we say, so okay, no problem. She's good. We're gonna do them over, and then we basically, you know, we schedule one meeting, and that gets canceled. We schedule another session. I drive downtown. Then oh no, I can't make that. And now there was some rain involved and stuff like that. To be fair, so but it took a week before we could maybe 10 days before we could get a second picture done. And then, again, she came to the condo, and I said, you really got to come up, because I really need to show you on the computer the landscape. You're like, I'm looking at, here's Tony Robbins. I want to see how Tony Robbins is over to the side, and the words over here, that's what I want to show her. Now, I'm busy, got to go. So, of course, I show her on the phone view, but the phone view just doesn't really do it. So we take the pictures, and I tell her, but here's the scoop. I mean, I've got a meeting tomorrow morning at 10:30 with my web designer, and we're finalizing this stuff. I really, really need to have the picture. She said, no problem. I'll have them to you in an hour. Now, to tell you the truth, I really didn't think I was going to get them in an hour, but as long as I got them before 10:30, we'd be good to go. So it's 10:25. I still haven't received the pictures, and I email her to say, I really, really do need those pictures. Okay, and she gets back to me right, sorry, I forgot, and she sends me a file. So now I'm on the phone with Raquel, and we're going through the pictures, and I open up the file, and it's a pictures of tacos.
Did we start a new business?
But it just, she sent me the wrong file. It's a picture of food. She's right. Taking some pictures for food and blah, blah, blah. But now I'm on the phone with Raquel. We thought we were going to have the pictures to discuss. We don't have the pictures. I emailed her and said, this isn't the pictures. You sent me tacos. Could you send me my picture, which she sends me, which now is in the middle of the page. So my picture, it's landscape, but I'm in the middle of the page, not on the sides of the page like we want it. So it's not quite. But the point of the story is, so she sends me the file. It says it's the wrong file. She sends me the new picture. And then she says, well, you could have said please and thank you. And I kind of stopped. Like, I got to read it over because for what, where, when, how, I don't get it. There's not, I don't even see that. Even when I went back and read it over, I don't see the point where there's a thank you in here, because it's one delay, one missed meeting, one wrong file, one whatever. And I'm not, and I haven't been rude. I haven't said anything aggressive or anything. I've just simply asked for what I need to do. But it just was an example of deflection. All of a sudden, it's back at me. Why didn't you say thank you?
Because she doesn't want to take responsibility.
I can't, you know what? I can't even speak for that. That makes sense. She's a lovely person. So I don't know. But the end result is my brain kicks in. And listen, is it OCD? Is it ADHD? I got a long list of all this shit, right? So now all I can think about is, oh my God, it didn't say thank you. You know, no. But I mean, I go for breakfast. I order my rice and beans and eggs. And I go, geez, I didn't say thank you. My God, what am I doing? And then I order my coffee and I say, oh no, it didn't. And it's like, you know, every second thought is that. Every second thought is bogging me down. Did I do something? I did something wrong? And it starts to clog up my brain. And this sort of stuff has happened all the time.
I know, because, me listening to you, you said she did somewhat apologize, but then she came back and said, but you could have said please and thank you. So to me, that's like, yeah, you know, I've apologized, but really it's your fault. It's not my fault.
Yeah, but maybe so, but you know, regardless, it's still how it impacts me. And that's why I wanted to talk about it. It's how it impacts me as a neurodiverse individual. And now, we all have, it all happens to us. It's nothing special. It can happen anywhere, anytime, any place. It be typical or atypical, neurodiverse or not. But it, what it does to me is different than what it does to a typical, who might just go, well, you're crazy and never think about it again. Me, oh, it, listen, it bounced around for a week. I'll tell no doubt it probably 1,000 times it entered my mind. Oh, what did it do and how did I do it? And oh, she's crazy or am I crazy or blah, blah, blah. And it's just, oh my God, shoot me. And it's so typical of me. And this is after all these years of understanding and knowing that this is just the way it works. All these years of having high position jobs as an executive, covering billions of dollars, dealing with thousands of staff and other aggressive executives. And this little girl taking pictures, that's one of the things. And I still, it's bouncing off my mind. I think I'm like crazy.
I think... I think she should have thanked you for putting up with her, like, you know.
Well, you know, whatever it is. But the point is all about this repetitive thinking that happens as a result of this deflection and how it gets me off my game. And it is what it is. So I guess what we wanted to talk about is, so what do you do with that?
What do you do with that?
Right? Well, oh no, alcohol and drugs, I don't know. But what do you do?
That doesn't work for you either.
You know, but one thing that came to me, and we came to me when we were talking about it, Judy, because obviously we talked about this before, was, you know, no matter what we are, I am neurodiverse, I have neurodiverse conditions, and I can get smart about them, I can understand them, I can do create structure and rules and all of that to help me be better. Be better, I don't know, better or capture the wonders of my neurodiversity. But I am neurodiverse. And I'm going to have to live with things like this. But I got to learn to laugh at them, which I do. Because we're talking about it now and I laugh at it and all that. But it's almost that you've got to have that sense of humor. You know, here I go again.
Right. Right.
Oh, Ricky.
I'm laughing at it now, but it did up until now. It's been on your, like you said, every time you turn around, it's like, should have I said thank you? Why am I, you know? And now you're at a point where you can laugh at it.
Well, I don't think I was always kind of at a point I could laugh at the circumstance, but okay. As a neurodiverse again, I always wonder if I did fuck it up. Was there a point in there I should have done that? And I did respond to her, oh, sorry, thank you. Because, you know, what am I going to do? I mean, do I really care if she wants to thank you? Give her a thank you. I mean, you know. So, anyways, that was that.
And does it just eventually run out? Do you finally just run out of steam and you move on to a new one?
Yes, it could be. Maybe I need that. Maybe I need that thing pounding around in my head. Not really. I don't. But it is what it is, and you know, and it's not the first time I've dealt with that sort of stuff, and I've seen it happen so many times when, you know, the intent to do one thing is something, and people somehow manage to turn that into something else. Call it deflection, call it what you want. I mean, I remember a time where, I remember there was a guy working, one of my executives was working in one of the buildings, and HR came in, who was a little rough, no doubt, and she was dealing with this guy, it was a female HR person dealing with a guy, and she was giving it to him. Totally inappropriate, where the, you know, people are looking out their doors, wondering what's going on. And one of my team was there, and he went in and said, and gave it right to her, saying, this isn't right. You can't do this. And he gave her the gears. So you would think that was the right thing to do. That's leadership. You know, she was wrong. He went in and fixed it and, you know, sent her on her way. But what happened was, when she went back to the corporate office, it got turned around where he was picking on her. And, you know, so he did the right thing, but it got turned around that, no. He talked to a woman like that, and that's inappropriate. And that, and you know, she would even later get fired for doing the same thing over and over. So it would truly, if you looked at, if you took out the file and you saw the repetition, you would see she was obviously wrong. But that followed him forever. I can remember as a senior VP sitting in a meeting and 5 years later, someone going, yeah, but remember that time of Mark, though, how he acted inappropriately?
Because they were they didn't want to take responsibility and they deflected it back on him.
Right. And that's the thing that, you know, and poor him now, I don't see him as a neurodiverse and he probably didn't deal with it the same way, but it chews it out, all of us, when those sorts of things happen. But it really is right. The point that you can't let that stuff get you. You got to have a sense of humor. Yeah. Shit happens. People want to do certain things. You have to have a sense of humor. Stick to your way of doing things. Know your values. Stick to your values. And don't let anybody compromise them, even when it seems to be convenient to do so.
But, I mean, on that case, though, it's a little more serious because it did ruin his career.
Oh, no, it didn't ruin his career. He was still a very successful guy. It was just one of those things that people like me had to stand up and say, just give me a break. That happened then. You guys don't know the circumstances. You're making opinions here that don't make any sense. And thank God there are people like me and other people, no doubt about it, who stand up, come on, give me a break. You know, you're talking out your ass.
Yeah, a lot of people like to talk out of their ass. Good thing is you can't hear them that well.
It's muffled. So, what else you want to know?
I don't know. Is that it? You don't have any more examples?
Well, I have all kinds of examples.
Million examples.
Million examples of the same thing. The point is that we got to know who we are. We got to find some humor in that. We've got to know that, you know, the values we hold true to us, ourselves, we have to stick with. You know, I mean, I think it's important to talk to other people about when stuff like that happens, get it off your chest, start a dialogue that, you know, really gets the right facts out there.
Can I ask you a question?
You certainly can.
Would you ever confront the person that's doing that? Like, would you say, hey, hold on a minute. You're just deflecting back. You're not taking responsibility for your actions. You're trying to blame me. Would you say that to
100%. But you know what? It's the establishment has set up certain rules that are make it hard because certain things are, if there was a perception that I said something, and most feminists won't like this, if there was a perception that I didn't use the right words in dealing with diversity, feminism, or whatever, and someone was triggered on that, my message is lost because someone that gets on their bandwagon and goes, but you didn't, you used this word and you should have used that word. And the phrasing you said here, it could have been this phrasing, but the dialogue goes down that rabbit hole. It goes down that rabbit hole and you're 10 and 15 minutes into talking about what words should have been used and no one fucking remembers what you're even talking about.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I agree with that.
And nothing against anything or anybody. It's just that's what happens. People get on their high horse, be you liberal or be you conservative, whatever the hell you are, and you drag us all down to nowhere.
Right.
And those important issues, and if you're skilled at it, you can avoid talking about important issues because you get triggered on, I'm going to change this to what word was used, what phrase was used, and we never get talking about the important issue. Crock of shit.
Because they don't want to.
Because they don't want to. It doesn't match their agenda. You see it happen in politics all the time. It's just beyond silly now.
Right, right. But in a situation, you would confront a person if they were trying to lay the blame back on you.
Well, 100%. 100%. But that, you know, that depends on situation. If I'm in a boardroom and the CEOs are there and from all around the world, and you're not going to do it then. So sometimes it's hard. But that problem is, and they walk away thinking something that the real discussion really never took place. You know, so it's situational.
How do you deal with that?
You don't. There's nothing you can do about that. Okay. You can't win them all.
No.
Can't bring clarity to everything. Can't always be right. You just, you know, you do what you can. You live your life. You stick to your values. You do what you can. And if you do that consistently enough, you win.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I liked that one. That was good.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was lots of fun.
That was lovely.
Takeaways, any? Other than my chocolate cake that you're going to take away?
Oh, you want me to make your chocolate cake? I don't know that it'll ship well.
No, I don't think so. Okay, so the takeaways are, shall I say them?
Yes, I think that would be great.
Learn how to put it out of your mind instead of obsessing. Know that it's not always so easy.
We are what we are.
Yeah. Anticipate that it's going to happen and be able to laugh about it. That's the good one. Surround yourself with the right people, especially in those key moments, and empty the brain's plate as best as you can and fill it with positivity.
Right on.
I like those.
Good. Cool.
Well done.
High five, Judy. High five.
Okay. That's it for another one.
Okay, cool.
Later, baby.
Later, baby.
Thanks for joining us today and listening to another episode of The Atypical Leader. If you haven't already done so, like, share, and follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts. By liking and sharing, you will help other atypicals find all of us, so we can all start to leverage the stories, strategies, and strengths of what make us all unique. Keep listening and remember, take charge and push away those self-doubts. Leverage what we're talking about. Be confident in who you are and proud of what makes you unique.
So join me, Rick Brennan, and my co-host Judy Sims on the next episode of The Atypical Leader. And don't forget to get your copy of the book, The Atypical Leader, Harnessing the Power of Neurodiversity on Amazon. To learn more about us, leadership, and neurodiversity, please go to our website, atypicalleader.com.
Thanks for listening. Let's do it again next week.